Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker from the Your Living Brand Live Show. Good morning. It is December 6th. It is 10 o'clock in the morning. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we meet with you to talk about what makes companies unique. This show is all about differentiation. How do you stop being a commodity? How do you stop getting people to think of you as just one of many and being the bid number 12 on the list? How do you get people to understand that you have something of value, you do something unique, you are valuable to them? And by communicating that value and getting them to understand that value, people will do business with you. And you stop being a commodity and you stop being one of many and you start being one of one. And that's what this show is all about. Every week, we interview a new person, we interview a new business, and we talk about what makes them special and what makes them unique, because every business can be special and every business has a story to tell that's theirs and theirs alone. My job, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, is to help people tell that story. My company is Your Living Brand. Sorry, Your Brand Marketing. Oh my God, it must be December. And what we do is we work with people to be able to understand what they do, why they do it, who they do it for, and why people should care. It's important because you know what? Everybody deserves to be special. Everybody deserves to treat their customers special. Everybody deserves to be treated by their customers as special. And if you differentiate, if you demonstrate why you're valuable, why you're unique, people will flock to you. Now, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, what we do, we consult, we teach, we speak on brand message, market, vision, and value. Come talk to us. Now, this week we have a special guest. Lisa Martin has a company called Lisa Martin International. What does she do? She does leadership training. I was privileged to take one of her advanced courses. Oh God, it must have been the spring of this year. And she does a great job of taking a look at companies and figuring out how to get the best out of the leadership, how to get them to understand a servitude form of leadership and understand that, you know what, when everybody does better under the organization, the leaders do better under the organization. So it's all about making people within the company feel valued, make sure they're understood, make sure that they understand what the leaders need of them and how to move the company forward. So I'm going to put you into the interview process. Let's bring Lisa on board. We're going to have a conversation and then I'll come back and say goodbye. Lisa, thank you very much for joining us today. It is a pleasure seeing you. How are things up in North Vancouver?
Pretty good. It's not raining so far, so all is good.
Hey, it's a beautiful thing. We live in a rainforest, so you got to expect a little bit of rain, but we have been having sheets lately.
That is true. That is true.
So as I was telling everybody off there, I mean, you're a five-time author. You lead this wonderful leadership course. You do amazing things, but I want to hear from your point of view. Tell me about Lisa Martin. Tell me about Lisa Martin International. Tell me about what do you do? Who do you do it for? Tell me the story behind your business.
Sure, I'd love to do that. So basically, I'm really passionate about supporting people to maximize their potential. I'm a big fan of supporting people to do the very best that they can in their leadership. And what I do every day is I support high achievers to lead and live better. So in other words, to take the opportunity to be able to make an impact in their workplace, but also thrive at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I work with new and seasoned leaders to support them to get to that place. And in addition, I have leadership development programs that I bring into organizations to help them cultivate amazing leaders at all levels. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well, I mean, you make it sound so simple, you know? You know, with everything that you do and how you do it, you know, there's got to be some great stories. There's got to be some great stories about, you know, how you add value. And tell me the story of where you came from. I mean, that's probably the best way to handle this is how did you start? You know, what type of clients do you work with? You know, how did we get to where we are today?
Well, it started when I was, the story starts, I think, when I was early in my career. And I had the good fortune to start my very first company when I was 28, and it was a public relations consulting firm.
So that's 5 years ago?
Yeah, 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years yeah. Ago. I wish. And well, actually, no, I don't. But so I started that company, and within 2 years, I'd had the good fortune of collecting some very significant clients, and that caught the attention of two of Canada's largest PR consulting firms at the time, and they both came knocking on my door, and there ended up being a competitive bid process to buy this little PR firm that I had. So I decided to sell it to a company called National Public Relations, which was one of the largest PR consulting firms in Canada at the time. And with a partner, created the office for them here in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when we opened our doors, we were de facto the third largest agency in the city. And that institution is still a thriving concern today in Vancouver and across the country. Mm-hmm. So I got into that. Now this had me at 30 years of age, thrown in, and I was the youngest and only female partner in the organization.
Wow.
And I had P&L responsibilities not only for Vancouver, but I had national P&L responsibilities because I was also co-head of a national division.
Sure.
And there I was leading. Going from entrepreneur to leader of mm-hmm. a relatively significant organization. And Ben, I really didn't know what I was doing.
Right. You
know? And I learned quickly. I got mentors. But I sure would have loved to have had somebody like me in my court that I could have gone to for guidance mm-hmm. and for additional knowledge. And I would have loved to have been able to take some courses that would have taught me the people side of leadership. I was technically adept, but it was the people side that I had more challenges with. And that really motivated me after a few years of being in that business to find a way to support others in that regard, but also to support them not only on that side, but on the life side so that you could have a sustainable way of being. Because what also happened to me throughout that process, sort of the secondary thing that happened, was I found myself having been such a overachiever, high achiever, that I burned myself out.
Gotcha.
So about 5 years into this, I found myself, and I'll never forget it, I was walking down West Georgia Street in Vancouver, and you know, I had my power suit and my high heels, and I was stomping through downtown with this huge file folder filled with papers and one of those big old fat cell phones up, you know, cropped up on my shoulder, and I was barking orders out to a designer on the end of the line. And Ben, you've been in this business, you know what
Absolutely. It's like.
And I was on deadline, and I'd left no other time in my calendar to have that conversation anywhere or anywhen but then. And it was quite the circus act. I got up to my office. I chucked this huge pile of paper into my already full in tray, and the unthinkable happened. The whole thing broke, and every piece of paper was strewn all over my office floor. And Ben, I just stood and I look at this mess, which was a metaphor for my life at the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the resilience nor the reserve to pick up a single piece of that paper.
Oh, wow.
And I just wept. And I knew in that moment I was burning out. And so that set me on another journey to find out, well, what was this mysterious alchemy between career and life success? Because I obviously didn't have it. Mm-hmm. I'd have career success trajectory for sure, but other parts of my life were obviously suffering. And so I went on this journey and interviewed people and went to courses and read books and started to figure it out, to figure out this idea of creating this optimal capacity. So a big part of my story is really supporting leaders to, that's where the lead and live better comes from. Mm-hmm. It's to be able to build on those important leadership skills from the people side of the business and also sustain yourself in your personal life, right? And so my ultimate goal is really to help people become what I call high impact thriving leaders. Mm-hmm. And often what people think is that those things are they're mutually exclusive. You can't have them both. But in fact, if you want to be a high impact leader, you have to be thriving at the same time to sustain it. And that's really what I'm all about.
Yeah, and I find that interesting because you know, there's a lot of people that are entrepreneurs on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people that are managers or leaders by accident. And they find themselves thrown into these positions
exactly
with no skill set whatsoever, with no real life, you know, systems behind them that allow them to succeed, and they don't have the mentors or the training or whatever in order to do that. And that's why you have people sit there go, oh, my boss is an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, your boss is an idiot a lot of cases because they were really high achievers in your position. And somebody sat there and said, well, let's make them a manager, but we don't give them any tools to be able to succeed at that next level. And it's a completely different skill set.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And this is the place where I play the most and where I think I can make the most impact, if we're talking about impact,
right.
Is in the sense of my leadership development programs that, you know, that I develop and that I create. Some are turnkey solutions and some are fully customized or sure. bespoke, depending on what the organization wants. But we tend to work in that area of what I would call that mid to senior level individual, that's that rising leader that's in what I think one of the toughest spots in an organization is you're coaching up, you're managing below, and you're managing beside.
Sure.
And so every day is a little bit different mix of this, that, and the other. So not only are you responsible now, you've moved from being perhaps a individual contributor or responsible for your own results. You're now responsible for delivering results through others.
Right.
But you're also not at the top of the chain. You've still got people that you're reporting up into as well. So it's a really challenging piece. And often in business school, I think they're getting better at it for sure. They don't teach you a lot of the people side of leadership. And that's really where I come in with my coaching background and my own personal background in terms of leading teams and running companies and working with lots and lots of clients over the years. I have a lot of experience that I can bring to bear on those various situations. Now, notwithstanding, I still, you know, I do one-on-one coaching work with
sure.
folks, and they tend to be very senior. They tend to be very, very senior leaders for the most
right.
part. But on the leadership development side, that's the place where I play the most, because I think it's where I can be of most value to people, you know,
right.
and help them out. Because if I really want people to be high impact, thriving leaders, they need these skills. Just for example, learning the basics of coaching skills
mm-hmm.
can make a huge difference in your ability to make a bigger impact as a leader and potentially to work a little less hard. Right. So
true.
It fits into that value proposition of high impact and thriving. So I never really look at it from doing one part of the equation. It's always how do both sides of that equation, the lead and live better, come into play.
Exactly. Because, you know, those personal skills are the tough part. You know, how to manage personalities. Because when you're a manager, I mean, as you said, you're managing up, you're managing down, you're managing to the side.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of personalities around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because in the university system, in the college system, in the high school system, you know, you're constantly surrounded by all these personalities, but no one's showing you how to interact with these people. No one's teaching you how. If you learn how to succeed, if you learn how to do it, you learn how to do it by accident, and you learn
yeah.
how to do it, by trial and error.
Yeah.
And trial and error in a large company can get you fired.
And it's very expensive.
It's not extremely only, expensive,
not only for you,
but for the company itself.
Exactly. And it's emotionally expensive because
yes.
of the angst that you go through trying to figure out, you know, how to manage these situations and have those sleepless nights. And I think the other thing, Ben, on the other side of it is your ability to understand and learn and know others and use various techniques, whether that's coaching or how learning to communicate with the other individuals in alignment with the other individual's communication style,
sure.
you know, understanding the four core personality
yeah.
Buckets that people will fall into, you know, mm-hmm. all of those kinds of things. But to me, one of the signposts of a great leader or people who have the potential to be a great leader are those that are interested in becoming more self-aware.
Yes.
And taking the time to really understand, you know, what am I really fantastic at? You know, this is your work. What are my strengths and how do I brand around that?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you know, where are the places where I'm maybe need to develop myself, or I know I'm never going to be that successful in that area, I need to understand that because I need to build up teams and people around me to balance that out. Because a big part of being a leader is how you manage and work with your teams. Absolutely. And I feel that you cannot really be that successful in that role if you don't understand yourself first.
Yeah.
And a big part of what we do in our leadership development programs and what I do a lot in coaching is helping people become more self-aware by giving them lots of little mini assessments and asking them coaching type questions to dig down inside to find out more about themselves and to uncover their blind spots, because we all have them. I know I've got them.
Absolutely. Blind spots right here.
Yeah. And I can't see them unless that's why they're called blind. And I can't see them unless somebody points it out to me. But here's the thing, and this is what I'm really passionate about with working with people, and we do this and teach this all the time in our programs, is how do you get comfortable with the idea of seeking feedback and feed forward from other people?
Right.
And the way that I look at it and the way that I talk about it with my students is this idea that self-awareness really is a gift, right? And so if you're going to seek feedback and feed forward, then you're seeking the gift of self-awareness. So you can, and it's really the only way you can get better. So you have to have an open mind and have the mindset for it. On the other side, as a leader, when you need to give to others feedback and feed forward, that it is also a gift and that your intention is meant
Absolutely.
To be positive. And how to handle that, because those are some of the toughest situations I think a modern leader gets into these days. And so we talk a lot about this idea of developing what I call emotional courage.
Yeah.
And how do you have the courage to have those kinds of conversations? Because if we don't then have the conversations, we all know what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things end up escalating or getting out of control. And then when you do go to have the conversation, you don't handle it in the way that is most beneficial to you or the person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I read something the other day from Mark Cuban. He says to start it all over again, he would do a sales job during the day and he'd be a bartender at night. And the reason he said that is the interpersonal skills that you learn being a bartender are phenomenal. Your ability to listen, your ability to empathize, your ability to communicate effectively, to be able to deal with all different sorts of people. And I think that, you know, a lot of leaders should go out and go on sales calls with their people, or they should, you know, they should go to the trade shows. They should deal with deal with their clients and really sit there and listen, because it's a skill to be able to sit there and say, to take information from people that are maybe not so happy with you. and it does happen, you know, every company does.
You're a human being. You're not going to make everybody happy all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to be able to learn those skills of how to listen, empathize, and to react in a way that's not going to be toxic.
Exactly.
And that's a skill that I'm sure you teach each and every day. Mm-hmm. And it's a skill that really, you know, it's those soft skills. You know, and you've said it before and I'll say it again, it's those soft skills that differentiate, you know, a good leader from an average leader.
Exactly.
That's the real challenge in life.
Well, and I think it's ironic that we call them soft skills because they're actually the hardest to learn.
I'm sure.
And I think that's the irony of soft skills.
Yes, but we can all learn how to push paper from one side of the desk to the
other. Not to discredit the importance of your technical skills, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't have the substance on the technical side of your role, then it doesn't matter how great your people skills are, you still won't be able to do your job effectively.
True.
So we take that for granted. You know,
yes.
That's taken for granted that you're excellent at your core skill set, right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's layering on all of these. But it's funny you talk about listening. I was just running a program the other day, and it's a skill that in one of my programs called connection. And the whole idea behind connection is your ability to build real relationships and communicate with clarity.
Right.
And the model that I have around that, there's three steps in that. So it starts with connect and care, listen and learn, and influence and inspire. Mm-hmm. And so we went through the learning for each one of those elements. So of course, in listen and learn, what we were talking about is how you listen well. And the challenge a lot of people have is when they go into a situation or a conversation, they're not really present and listening on all levels to other individuals, because most of the time you're really busy thinking about, well, what's the next thing I'm going to say? What's the next thing on my agenda? So it's you're kind of half listening, but not fully listening. And when you're in that space, you don't really hear fully what's going on, because listening is not just not listening with your ears. It's listening. So this is probably an incorrect way of saying it, but listening with your eyes, listening with your, listening to body language, listening with your heart, listening for the emotion, you know, even listening with hands. Sometimes just an occasional touch makes a connection. I'm not talking about doing anything weird or, you know, but just being human in that situation. And if you take the time to really listen, you'll find that you learn, you know, so much more. And this is something that, you know, I learned when I was going through my coaching credentials. And you know, we're taught to listen. So when I'm listening to in a conversation and fully there, and when I'm particularly when I'm coaching, I'm listening for all kinds of things. I'm listening to every word that person says. It will tell me whether they're happy or unhappy. It'll tell me whether they're listening to their shoulds versus their wants. I'll get very clear on what their values are just by just by what they say. And so for a leader, it's really important to take the time to really listen to what other people are saying and not look at it as a checkbox. Oh, well, I had my meeting with so-and-so and it's all done now. No, it's not.
No, that's the beginning. Having the actual meeting is the beginning. It's the work that comes out of that meeting, you know, to make the situation better, you know, either to make a better employee, to, you know, to rectify a problem that's going on or whatever. But you're right. If we can't sit there and listen and understand and internalize, we're in trouble as leaders.
Very much so. Very much so. And the challenge can be a capacity issue sometimes, Ben, right? So people say, I really want to do that. My desire is as such, but I don't have the time. And this is a functional reality of the modern workplace is we're short on time. We're short on time in life, period. And we're just, you know, we're asked to do so much more and perhaps the same or less time than we were doing before. So it becomes a capacity issue as well. So that leads you to say, okay, well, what do I need to do to improve my capacity? Yeah. And it's interesting. I just was on a webinar yesterday, actually, with CPA Canada, and we had 10,000 people on the webinar. And my webinar topic was planning and sustaining your capacity for 2018. And in there, I talked about this idea of, you know, first of all, defining what is capacity, what's the difference between, you know, above capacity, below capacity, and optimal capacity. But then I introduced what I call the GSD funnel, the get stuff done funnel. And it's a 6-step approach. I know 6 steps, right? What are you talking about? How's that going to help with my capacity? It's too many steps. But it's actually really, really, really simple. And it's very hands-on in terms of what you can do to plan out your time and manage your capacity and sustain it at a higher level throughout the year. And it means using some, I would call productivity hacks to a certain degree, but more importantly, what it means is being really intentional about what you want to achieve and forget this idea you know, the New Year's resolutions and all this striving that starts to get on you right about now. People are starting to think about it. Oh, what am I? I've got X days left in the year, not very many, less than a month. Yeah. And am I getting everything done I said I was going to do for 2017? And wait a minute, coming around the corner is 2018. Oh, okay. What's all the stuff I'm going to do for 2018? And people overload. And there's lots of people out there in this internet space and in your workspace, you know, pushing at you. Yeah. What are you going to do? And I'm saying, how about you do this? How about you rejoice in who you are, right? And rejoice in what you do have instead of focusing on what you don't have and all the stuff you should be doing, and instead get really clear on what's most important. Pick 1, 2, 3 things that you really want to do next year and be happy in that, right? You know, and move away from this constant striving and move into your thriving. And that's what I'm passionate about for January this year.
Well, that's, you know, and that's a great place to, as a segue, is just that it's being able as a coach, you know, and that's what differentiates you as a coach, is that you're looking at people as human beings. You're looking at them and taking them beyond the workplace that they're in and the situation that they're in and say, let's look at this as a whole human being approach.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where your real value is that you're not just looking at the situation that they're in right now. You're looking at it and says, okay, how does the situation that they're in interact with everything else that's going on and all the minutiae that's going on in their lives and this, ever growing, circle and vortex that happens on everybody's life. And, we all spin out of control, and it's having somebody that you can rely on that's going to be that anchor. And I see that you act as that anchor for a lot of your clients, and that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. So yeah, I appreciate that. So let me ask you one last question, then I'm going to let you go. So when you walk out of a room and you've left a client meeting and you get in your car and you walk away, what's the number one thing you want people to think about you and about Lisa Martin International when you're not in the room?
Honestly, that I care about their people and I care about their people's success, both professionally and personally. That's what matters to me.
And that's huge. That's absolutely huge, because that's what it's about. It's all about people, because if we can take it away from people just being numbers within an organization and actually turn them into human beings and realize that they come to the office every day with all sets of emotions and baggage, you know what? We can deal with that. We can deal with those emotions and we can deal with those stresses and we can make things better. And thank you for helping people along those lines.
Well, my pleasure. And thanks for having me on the show. And I look forward to staying in touch.
Absolutely. Hang on. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody and I will be right back. I hope you got out as much of that out of the show as I did. You know what? It's all about understanding how to effectively communicate and how to provide vision and how to let people know that, you know what, this is where we're going. Let's get there together. And I think Lisa did a phenomenal job at bringing that to the table. Now, every week we talk to another company. We want to find out what makes them special, what makes them different, what makes them unique. What makes you unique? What's the simple, special thing that you do that makes you different from your competition? And how are you communicating that so people understand it, they internalize it, they see your value, and they tell other people? That's what business is all about, and that's what marketing is all about. And Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, at Your Brand Marketing, that's what we do for our clients. We help them communicate their value to others in the right way, using the right medium, so that people understand, and they internalize, and they understand the value, and they tell others. Come find us at yourbrandmarketing.com. Have a great week, everybody.